The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I am joined by the Minister for Housing, James Brown. Minister, you're welcome to the show. There's a lot to talk about. We might kick things off with this report, this activity report from the Irish Council for Social Housing. What does it tell us?
Yeah, so this is a really important report that tells us that they've had a really successful year in terms of the delivery of social and affordable houses right across the country, and cost rental houses as well. And I think what it shows is that in terms of associated housing bodies, you know, that delivery is happening there. We're seeing the delivery in social houses from local authorities, albeit some doing better than others. But if we need to, if we're going to get from 30,000 houses a year to 60,000 houses, we have to get the private sector moving at a significant pace. And that is where we're having a serious difficulty at the moment. And that's why my priority when I became Minister for Housing is the delivery of homes and ensuring that those homes are delivered where they're needed and as quickly as possible.
Why have we got that problem with private sector investment?
I think there's a number of problems. So since I became Minister in the 3 months I've had 3 months ago, I've had 200 meetings with stakeholders. First met with homeless organisations, NGOs, tenants' rights organisations, but I met with construction industry, with all the other stakeholders right across the country, with local authorities as well. There's a number of problems. Finance seems to is a major issue in terms of the private sector moving. But we also have an awful lot of blockages, a lot of frustrations out there with the construction industry, with local authorities, and with people who are simply trying to get a home so that they can live in it and be a part of a community. And that's why, for example, the Housing Activation Office, which has been used a lot, is part of my priorities in terms of getting that going so we can unlock those frustrations on the ground that are being problems in terms of delivering housing.
In what way is the Activation Unit going to deal with those blockages?
So we have, I believe, the right strategy. It's an ambitious strategy to deliver homes we need. We have the right policy. But where there is a piece missing, if you like, it's between that strategy turned into houses on the ground. The government is spending a very large amount of money, record funding to deliver those homes as well. And as I say, we're using AHBs, which are the associated housing bodies and local authorities. We are seeing a significant increase in housing delivery. But for especially for developers or builders delivering on the home, often on the ground, often it's a lack of water connection, it's an ESB connection. We have zoning issues, but I'm rectifying that as I've gotten the National Planning Framework through the House of Diocese the last couple of weeks, and that I'll be directing local authorities now to open up for a county development plan to zone a significant amount more land so more homes can be planned and delivered. But the Housing Activation Office will be boots on the ground. It's a team on the ground that is going to go site by site, county by county, to see why have we got land here that's zoned, why is it, there's planning permissions, why are houses not being built on it, as I said, then engaging with the utilities, Uisce Éireann, ESB networks. If it's a problem with the local authority, so be it. If they discover there's a policy issue, they can report back to myself and then I can address that policy issue.
But they'll know actual really power, that's right, isn't it? I mean, you talk about boots on the ground. I mean, if they go down to and say, right, we've got this zoned land, but it isn't serviced, Uisce Éireann, the ESB, why are you not doing it? Like, Uisce Éireann and the ESB, you're not accused them of sitting around their backsides doing nothing, are you?
No, look, both of those organisations are working very hard, but often what's not happening is that coordinated effort to ensure that land that is zoned is being connected as quickly as possible. So the team for the Housing Activation Office will be quite a small team, between about 8 and 12 people. They will have secondments, that's people coming from those utilities who have the knowledge of how those utilities work. So for, again, Uisce Éireann, for example, or ESB networks, and will be led by somebody who will engage with those utilities, and it'll have the heft of myself as a senior minister behind it with my own executive powers to ensure
that what they need can be done. But those utility companies would be perfectly entitled to say to your members of your Housing Activation Unit, we've got our own priorities, we've got our own plans, these plans have been in place for absolutely months. We can't drop everything on site A to service site B just because you want us to. The other job is also important.
Well, I think in terms of Uisce Éireann, yes, they have their own priorities. But part of that priority has to be about delivering housing. So this team will be able to engage. Often it is just a disconnect.
I know, but it's just engagement. Engagement. They won't have any power. And I think this is the point that some in opposition have sought to raise, and it's the nature of some of the criticism, is that the Housing Commission suggests that a unit, it wasn't the same name, but effectively the same unit, with more power, with teeth, the ability to actually affect change, as opposed to just scheduling meetings.
Well, the housing, the office recommended by the Commission is from 2030 onwards. I'm setting this up as a non-statutory basis to begin with. And as we're moving along, if we identify and need certain executive powers, we can give it. But if we start, if we go the other direction, for example, we're going to pile legislation on here first before even setting them up, which is what you'd have to do to give them executive powers to begin with. We're probably going to be 18 months down the line before you get that kind of legislation designed and passed, because the reality is that's what it takes to get legislation through the houses, being examined, the 10 different stages, pre-legislative scrutiny. I'm sure the opposition will have views on every line in that legislation. This gets things moving and gets them moving quickly. It has the imprimatur of myself as the senior minister, backed by the strategy, but also backed by the government. This has been supported and approved by the cabinet, so the entire government's weight is behind this. So having that kind of weight behind it actually does mean an awful lot when it goes to those utilities. But as I say, I'm there supporting it. And in tandem, I'm setting up an oversight group as well, where the CEOs of those utilities will be brought in before myself. So if they're not supporting this team on the ground,
group.
Well, it's my
is
duty
there no
to
end to the quangos you'll set up. I mean, these are just more stakeholders you're creating.
No, this is not a quango. It is my duty as a minister to be meeting with these CEOs, and I will be bringing them in before me. Bringing CEOs of utilities who are not facilitating delivery of housing to explain to me why they're not, so I can tell them where it needs to be done. That's not a quango. That's me showing leadership and bringing them in and make them to deal with the situation we have in housing. Look, the government is spending a huge amount of money in housing, as they should, huge amount of money in utilities. We're going to spend a lot more. We're about to give an awful lot more money under National Development Plan to Gishgairn, for example, and ESB networks. We need this joined up piece, and that's what this housing activation team is about. It's about that boots on the ground, site by site. I, as a minister, can't be going around from site to site across the country. My duty is in the Dáil, my duty is at cabinet, and a setting strategy in the Department of Housing, where we have almost 2,000 staff. This is, as I say, people going around the ground to make sure that we are maximising the taxpayers' money that has been spent to deliver homes in this country, homes that people need, and I'm very acutely aware of that.
What's the timeline in your mind that exists in terms of determining whether this unit has been successful? So we know we failed miserably to hit our housing targets last year, and despite the kind of the findings of this report that we kicked things off with today, those social housing targets were way undershot as well. At what point will you turn around looking at the numbers and say this activation unit's not working, or it is?
Yeah, so look, the very disappointing turnout for housing delivery last year, and I think everybody recognises that, although for the 4 years in total we actually exceeded our targets for Housing for All. Again, with social housing this year it is down, but it's not down significantly. But again, our social housing delivery is the highest since the 1970s. So we are going the right direction, even if it hasn't been a straight line, and last year was a disappointment.
I mean, your own department only 2 weeks ago suggested that social housing delivery was down 20% last year on target.
And I think
that's
we'll be making up.
No.
Look, I think we'll be making that up this year. So we will. It is certainly, look, again, disappointing. A lot of that, unfortunately, when you get private housing delivery down, some of that social housing is as a result of a lack of Part 5s that come with social housing. I think we can make up some of that this year, so we can. The important thing is that it's going in the right direction, but we now have to accelerate it significantly, because whether it's 30,000 or 35,000 houses, we have to get to 60,000 homes for people, and that means accelerating the private sector, because that huge gap, we need an additional about 16 billion euros invested in housing. That has to come from the private sector, and that's what I'm working on as well. And if you look at the first last 3.5 months since I've been appointed, we got the National Planning Framework approved by Cabinet through both houses. I'll be issuing directions. We'll have the new on board Panola, the Planning Commission, established now in 2 weeks' time. We got an additional 715 million euros to deliver close to another 4,000 houses across the country. Short-term lets, and we've got an approval for that legislation as well. And we'll be making significant more decisions over the next couple of weeks as well. It has been 100 days. I can point to an awful lot that's been done in those 100 days. We'll be doing an awful lot more in the next 90 days, so we will be up to including the middle of the summer.
So you mentioned the 16 billion additional euro needed from the private sector to hit those targets. Where is the bulk of that money to come from in your mind?
The reality, I think the bulk of it has to come from the international financial sector. I think we can see more from the Irish pillar banks. So we can, but we only have three of them and they are cautious. So they are, my own view, a little too cautious. But that kind of level of funding, we need international finance. That's your German pension fund.
Have you told the banks that you think they're too cautious?
We have. We've met with the banks. I've met with all three pillar banks. And we've met with the Taoiseach, with the Banking Federation as well. I think they can be doing more in terms of taking a small bit more risk and supporting, especially smaller and medium-sized builders who can deliver in our provincial towns across the country. And that's a group I need to help to unlock as well. So it is. But I think, look, as I say, international finance, your German pension funds, your Canadian police pension funds, that's the kind of funding we need. Especially for the apartment blocks we need in Dublin, large apartment delivery, because the nature of them is unlike housing. If a builder is building 100 houses, he can sell the first one when it's finished. You're building 100 apartments, you can't sell the first one until 100 is built. It's a lot of money sunk in before you can start delivering the first apartment. So it is, and that's where that financial piece comes in.
Is a difficulty that you find then in terms of attracting that international finance just the kind of tumultuous nature of international trade and global markets? And we know those big financiers that you talked about there, your pension funds or what have you, that they tend to retreat to safe havens. And, you know, despite the buoyant economic outlook in Ireland, they might not necessarily consider us a safe haven compared to something like a gold reserve.
We have seen some of that in recent time with Trump's tariffs and other issues causing some concern. So you do see some international finance going into gold reserves or going into bonds. But look, Ireland is a very successful country. We have the demand. We're a very stable country. So I'm confident if we get the mix right, we can get that international finance back into Ireland to support delivery at departments. Right now, they're saying simply it is not profitable to do so, despite the high rents that are there in the country. So what I have to do is try and find a balance to ensure the affordability for the renters, but that we can get the significant additional apartments we need built so those people who want to rent, who are living at home, can have somewhere to rent.
You described yourself as showing the management, the leadership that's needed a few minutes ago. That's the language you use. And I wonder what you would say to people who maybe kind of spat out their cornflakes if indeed they were eating them this late in the day. And they would have thought, hold on a minute. This is the minister while he's been in charge. We had rent pressure zones back on the table, then off the table. And actually, a Fianna Fáil backbencher told me they were back on the table last week on the television. Section 23 tax breaks, they're back on the table. Then they were off the table. Then absolute silence for weeks on end. And then this absolute debacle about the appointment of a housing czar on nearly £500,000. And they'll wonder, God, is that really the leadership he should be showing?
But in terms of rent pressure zones, since I've been appointed, I have said that we will wait for the housing agency for their report on rent pressure zones. So that's never been on
but
or
all
off
of that
the table.
Together, Minister, it just gives a sense of chaos, of a leaderless department.
Well, I kind of reject the characterisation because rent pressure zones have never been on and off the table. I've always said we will wait for the housing agency. They have reported last week. We're studying that
report.
Have
you told your colleagues? I'm not necessarily saying it's you who's putting things on and off the table, but other members of government have done this.
Well, I think our members of government know what memos have been brought to Cabinet and they're very much aware of that. And they're certainly not saying it to myself. So, you know, I have to leave it to whatever they're saying behind the scenes. That's a matter for themselves. But when you look at the national planning framework we've gotten through the Oireachtas, when you look at the agreement around short-term lets, when you look at the €715 million that's been secured already to deliver at least an additional 4,000 houses, and you look at other steps that have been taken, and we will make more decisions over the coming weeks. They are being lined up. Commission Panola, the new on board Panola, which will rapidly speed up planning decisions. These are all decisions. These are all leadership. But what I did do was the right thing. When I was appointed, I think if I'd ran out and made a load of decisions without speaking to the stakeholders, and they're the homeless organisations, the NGOs, the likes of Threshold, if I made decisions without meeting them, I think I'd be rightly criticised and with justification. I've done it the right way, in my view. I've put the head down, met with over 200 meetings with the stakeholders, and now we're making the right decisions. I can't be responsible for, you know, vague speculation that's out there. I can only be held to my word, and that's what I'm doing.
Have you done everything the right way? I mean, suggesting that we pay someone nearly half a million quid to head up this activation unit, this new housing czar, that's pretty indefensible.
Well, I get everything right? Absolutely not. But I will make decisions and I will move fast. Well, first of all, I've never called it a czar. It's not a czar. The czar implies an overseer. This is a team on the ground.
I don't think I said czar there either. I said I head up your activation unit, but...
This is a team on the ground, the head of an activation unit. It's not a czar, certainly not a way I've ever
described
it.
How much should they be paid?
Well, I think it should be paid a reasonable amount to head up this team. The pay that was
circulated... What's a reasonable rate? The T-shirts are less than 300, so what's a reasonable rate?
Well, we'll examine that over the couple of coming weeks to see what that will be and examine what the process is we put in person in place. I think it's important to remember that when Brendan McDonagh, the proposal was to bring him across, it wouldn't have cost the taxpayer an additional cent. He would have been paid whatever was agreement between him and his current state employer, the NTMA. You have to remember the National Transgender Management Agency is a state body. So he was coming over on a secondment at
no
extra cost to the state.
I know, but he's ruled himself out now, so I want people at home to get a sense of how the actual leader of this unit, when they're ultimately appointed, might be paid. What's your payment? What's your salary as a minister?
But see, I think that's an important clarification.
But that's a nice equivalent, isn't it? Maybe pay them what you're paid and no more than that.
But I think the impression has been given out there that Mr. McDonagh was going to be paid additional money to take up this role. He's going to be paid his pay whether he came over here or not.
I think you and the Taoiseach have decided to fixate on that as a way of wriggling out of it. Do you know what people were annoyed about? It wasn't that he was being paid that in Anama and he was going to continue being paid that. It was that he was getting paid more than you, more than the Taoiseach and more than the President to head up a unit that you said is going to have 8 to 10 people working for it.
Well, it's going to be an important unit, but that pay was not being decided by myself. There was no additional pay to come across to this unit. He's going to be paid his pay one way or the other. That's simply the point I'm making. So it is. Look, the pay will be decided over the coming weeks when we assess the process, because now it will have to be identified probably as somebody either within the system or without the system, whatever that case may be. It's important to the most important thing is they have the right skills and they have the determination to activate those boots in the ground, to activate those sites so we can get the homes delivered, because that is my number one priority, to get the homes that people need. There's real frustration out there. I mean, I talk to people every day in my role as a TD, as somebody who lives in my own hometown in Enniscorthy, and I want to take that frustration and give people hope so they can get those homes, and that's what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. James Brown, Minister for Housing. Minister, thanks a million for speaking to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.